What's up, everybody, and welcome to episode 109 of the Lukewarm Games Podcast, your source for unique perspectives on all things video games and pop culture. As always, I'm your host, Luke Lewis, and today I'm once again joined by the indie enthusiast of Animal Crossing, Claire Helmberger.
How's it going, Luke?
It's going really well. How are you?
I am doing good. Very enthusiastic about indies today.
Gosh darn it, I love indie games.
Me too.
This will be a pretty fun episode. We are doing our most anticipated indie games of 2023. Decided to have an indie focus episode this year because after kind of looking back on our Game of the Year coverage and just the games that we tended to cover throughout the year, some of our most beloved games of 2022 and in subsequent years have always been indies. So yeah. I thought it would be fun to highlight specifically some of the indie games we're most excited for throughout the year. Obviously, we'll still continue some AAA game coverage for the relevant titles and whatnot, but wanted to highlight some games that y'all should keep on your radar going into this year.
Of course, for me, this podcast is just Claire's most anticipated games of the year minus Starfield. Like, that's the only one of mine that's not on the list.
But I have a couple indies that, or I'm sorry, a couple AAAs that obviously are coming up. You know, the Zeldas of the world, Spider-Man 2.
True Zelda.
There's a lot of good stuff to be excited about. Alan Wake 2, very hyped about. We shouted him out. We got him out of the way. Let's talk about indies. Before that, we've got the news, our weekly news segment where we break down what's happening in the video games industry. Claire, I have two news stories for us today.
Okay.
I have, I would call it an exciting news story and then a bit of a bittersweet, sad story. Okay. Whatever you want to start with.
Let's start with the exciting one.
The exciting one. This comes to us from Adele Anchor's Range over at IGN. The Last of HBO had the second best debut of the last decade, coming in behind House of the Dragon. The Last of Us scored HBO's second best debut of the last decade on Sunday night with 4.7 million viewers tuning in for the premiere.
That's awesome.
As reported by Deadline, Craig Mazin and Neil Druckmann's The Last of Us adaption has garnered the second largest debut for HBO behind House of the Dragon since Boardwalk Empire launched on the network to 4.81 million viewers back in 2010. The Game of Thrones spinoff attracted 9.986 million viewers when it debuted last year, whereas The Last of Us pulled in 4.7 million people this last weekend, according to HBO, which represents 20 to 40% of the show's total gross audience per episode. Hoo-wee! So I wanted to take this news story as a jumping off point to give some Last of Us TV conversation. Obviously, we've watched the first episode. As of this recording, the second episode is available. We haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but we'll be watching it shortly after this recording. And listeners, you probably will have seen it once this episode is live.
Yeah.
That aside, Claire, what do you make of this news? And then top level, what have you thought of the show so far? Avoiding any spoilers for folks who maybe haven't had a chance to jump in yet. And that being said, I wanted to highlight our coverage for The Last of Us. We might give our quick thoughts on weekly episodes throughout the season, but I'm planning a full review episode once the season has concluded and we can kind of give our in-depth thoughts on the show. But high level, what do you think so far? We've seen episode one.
Well, you know, I'm really excited that this many people tuned in.
Yeah,
because
absolutely.
It means that video game fans are tuning in, which is to be expected, but it also means that people are tuning in to see the story for the first time, which is awesome.
Yeah.
The thing that really jumps out at me is that this 4.7 million people only represents between 20 to 40% of the audience, which means that, like, more than twice as many people tuned in over the course of the week to watch the episode at that point. So even more people, have seen this show. And I just think that's really exciting. And I hope that the big audience continues because it deserves it. What do you think?
Yeah, totally agree. It's exciting news. And I think, like you said, absolutely deserved. I just adored this first episode. I think it's one of the best pilot episodes of TV.
Yeah.
In general, let alone a video game adaption. I think it's far and away the most impressive video game adaption I have yet to see. I think the attention to detail and the care that they're taking towards the original source material is really impressive. And I think as a longtime fan of the series, you know, The Last of Us is my favorite game of all time, part one and part two.
Yeah.
And to have them introduce new elements and new takes on the character and new story beats to the expanded universe and have them land as well as they do, I think is an incredible feat. And I'm just super excited. You know, I went into work last Monday and a coworker who doesn't play video games at all asked me, like, hey, do you know about this Last of Us show? I heard it's based on a video game. I just watched the first episode and I really enjoyed it. And so we had a conversation about it. And like,
that's awesome.
Little exchanges like that, I just think are super cool because it's such a compelling narrative. And to have folks who aren't interested in games and don't really want to cross that barrier, like, they still get to experience this incredible narrative. And I think the performances are outstanding. The sets are incredible. The music, it's all really well done and it's really well shot. Like,
yeah.
I'm just blown away.
Yeah, me too. I was also blown away. We both played the start of the game pretty much right before we watched the episode.
The PS5 remake, yes. Just to give even more context.
So I was really impressed both by like how faithful of an adaptation it was and also how much it still held us, even though we had just seen this very similar... Yeah. You know,
moment to moment,
of the story.
I knew basically exactly what was going to happen, but I still felt so engaged. And they did a really great job of introducing some new elements and some new beats and some new moments that weren't necessarily a part of the game, but just enhanced the story and gave us added context. And we got to sit with certain characters for longer and things like that. So just really well done so far. And it definitely makes me really excited to see where they take it from here.
Absolutely.
And I'm stoked that so many people are tuning in
because
it really deserves all eyes.
It does.
This is premiere viewing. You know, this is the next big HBO show rather. And it is living up to that kind of tentpole nature.
Yes, definitely.
Awesome. Well, we'll keep you tuned in to our thoughts on The Last of Us, but highly, highly recommend if you check it out. And honestly, recommend it to folks that aren't normally into video games. You know, my parents, who actually my dad adored The Last of Us video games, and my mom would watch us play them a fair bit growing up. So they're familiar with the story, but they're in love with the show. And I have other family members that I've told them to tune in and they're really enjoying it. So have folks check it out in your life that, you know, appreciate a good story, but maybe haven't played it. Because of, the barrier to entry, so to speak, with playing a video game. Good stuff. All right, we're moving into our second and final news story. Like I said, sad, bittersweet, but maybe not surprising, depending on your take on this one. This comes to us from Kat Bailey over at IGN. Marvel's Avengers to be delisted in September as development comes to an end. A little more than 2 years after its original release, Crystal Dynamics is preparing to end active development on Marvel's Avengers, a decision it says it undertook in conjunction with our partners. According to a blog entitled Final Update on the Future of Marvel's Avengers, support will discontinue on September 30th, after which digital purchases will no longer be available. All solo content will continue to be playable after support ends, and multiplayer will also remain available. Crystal Dynamics does not plan to release any new stories, features, or heroes, making update 2.7, which added the Winter Soldier and the Cloning Lab Omega level threat, the final content release for Avengers. Spider-Man will remain a PlayStation exclusive. The final balance update will be update 2.8, which will be released on March 31st. Afterward, Crystal Dynamics says it will turn off the cosmetic marketplace and credits will no longer be purchasable. Credit balances will be converted into in-game resources and all cosmetics will be made available for free. A mighty disappointment. We called Marvel's Avengers one of E3 2019's biggest disappointments when it was first revealed, and it fared little better when released the following year. Earning middling reviews from players and critics alike, it soon saw a major drop in player count as players grew bored and moved on. Crystal Dynamics continued to release new content, including several new characters, but never regained momentum after its troubled launch. The article goes into a bit more depth and some quotes from members of the team and whatnot, but I think we get the full picture of this news story. Claire, what do you make of this one? We covered Marvel's Avengers for the show, played it at the time when it came out.
Yeah.
And I've personally been like loosely following content over the 2 years, but interesting nonetheless. What do you make of this?
I think that bittersweet is a, maybe not like the exact way to describe it, but like for me, it's a little sad, but it also kind of makes sense from how the game has been performing, but I know it is disappointing to... There are people out there who have been really into playing the game, or at least somewhat into playing the game, and just to have that support end pretty soon, I can see how that can maybe be really upsetting for some people. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a bummer. I think as someone who played quite a bit of the game at launch and enjoyed it for what it was, I think the combat is fun. I thought the story campaign was enjoyable, and I wasn't so hung up on... I think a lot of folks were really bothered by the character designs and how they were different from the MCU.
Yeah.
I didn't really mind that as much personally, but the gameplay did really grow repetitive after 10 to 15 hours of gameplay.
Yeah, for sure.
And the content well just really ran dry. And full transparency, I haven't played the most recent large content update they did. I believe it's War for Wakanda or something along those lines, but it's a Wakanda Black Panther themed story expansion. And I heard quite good things about that. And I just think there was some mishandling of the direction of this title. I think had they wanted to go with this games as a service ongoing multiplayer game, I think the content strategy and roadmap just really needed to be stronger. And I think they needed to have a clear plan of what ongoing content would look like and engaging content that made players want to come back to it. Like, I think of Destiny when it first launched and how it struggled with content rollout. But over time, Bungie really defined like how to do that well.
Yeah.
And keep players wanting to come back and keep those annual or biannual updates to be really meaningful. I don't think Avengers got there, but I don't think they had the direction or plan in place to get there.
Yeah. I
would have really loved to see this, like, all of the multiplayer resources taken away and just funneled into the single player, because I think the single player was good, but I imagine if that had been the pure focus, like similar to their Tomb Raider games where it's a single player first game, I just think that would have been quite a different experience.
Yeah.
And we would be talking about it more fondly. Maybe people wouldn't still be playing it because it's a single player game, but I think it would have had a better cultural impact. And I think now it's kind of, I don't want to sound super negative, but it feels like a fart in the wind of like, that does sound really negative for a game that I enjoyed at a base level, but I just felt like the content did not sustain them continually pushing this game, and the cosmetics and the updates that they kept adding new characters. But what was incentivizing me to come back and play as these characters?
Like, there's
next to no story content, to my understanding, to play as Spider-Man, but you can go and do the repetitive combat missions. Like, that's just not what I want out of this experience.
It's just a bummer because they're ending support so soon for a game that I think a lot of people wanted to be not a games as a service game in the first place, and they could have put out the same amount of content in a different context and probably had a much warmer reception.
Right. And that being said, I think it is a good thing that they are cutting. They are just stopping instead of saying that they have all these plans and they're doing other things. Like, let's just move on. I think Crystal Dynamics is a talented studio. I hope they learn from this development cycle. And, you know, if they're going to do multiplayer, have a really focused plan for that.
Yeah.
Or if they're not, they're going to go back to single player. I know they're working on a new Tomb Raider game, and I think they have another project in development that I'm totally blanking on right now. Let me look that up real quick, but that's just kind of my two cents. I love that studio, and I think they're really a good, talented group of folks.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
You know, no negative vibes, but just this wasn't quite right.
Yeah.
And I think the developers would probably agree that
they didn't quite stick the landing. And I think back to our time with the game, and we really did, there are quite a few things that we really enjoyed about that game. So it is a bummer that it did fall flat, and I just almost wish they would like cut their losses as they are right now, but maybe come back to it. There was so much potential. Come back to it in a few years and make a totally new thing, fresh slate, but with some of those, you know, similar bones, you know.
Sure. The other game that I couldn't think of, they're also supporting the Perfect Dark team that's working on the new Perfect Dark reboot for Xbox. So that they're doing that as well, which, once again, those two projects make total sense, and I'm excited for both of those. So want to be clear, support this studio. I appreciate the studio. I hope they kind of find their footing more with their next game.
Yeah.
All right, Claire, I think it is time to jump into our title track main topic, our most anticipated indie games of 2023. You and I, we've assembled a list of our top five most anticipated indie games, and then we also have a smattering of honorable mentions.
Yes.
Do you want to start with the honorable mentions or start with our personal picks?
Let's start with our personal picks, okay. And then we can throw out the honorable mentions.
Do you want to kick it off with your number five? Maybe we'll build up to...
Yeah. I just want to say we were talking about this a moment before we started, but there's a lot of overlap on these lists. These are most of them games that we're both excited about. Yeah. So my number five is a game that you previewed at PAX, and I was sitting next to you. And I was just like, I want to be the one playing this right now. But it wasn't that kind of situation.
For sure.
And I've been kind of like, it's been the back of my mind ever since. And that is The Last Case of Benedict Fox.
Heck yeah.
Which is coming out at some point in 2023 on Xbox and PC. That's the current plan. I was actually thinking about this game a lot when I was playing Strange Horticulture, which... I think are quite different games.
Sure.
That both have like Victorian England inspired settings and are both puzzle games, and that's probably where the overlap ends, but I was just thinking that this is a game that I really have been craving, and like tried to fill that hole with Strange Horticulture, and it wasn't quite the same shape. But I'm just really excited to delve into this world, explore its systems, solve these puzzles. The puzzles look really interesting to me, so I'm excited.
Yeah, that's a great pick. I really enjoyed what I played at PAX West last year. My only thing was, I mentioned this on the show at the time, but it was just hard to get a sense of... The game has a lot of cool world building, and you're picking up notes, and there's little story bits and audio narrations and things, and it was just a hard game to experience on the show floor without a pair of headphones on, you know what I mean?
Right. So I think
sitting down in our living room playing it together, or, you know, in our studio, headphones on, like really jumping into the world headfirst, I think it'll be a really cool experience.
Yeah.
Artistically, the game looks amazing. The gameplay was super cool, and just that style and aesthetic, like you mentioned, that kind of Victorian meets like colorful horror Lovecraftian.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
Definitely. I think you also had talked about how like there's like the tattoo system where you get a tattoo and it gives you different benefits.
And there's a whole like skill system.
You can't explore those like long-term skill tree development things in that shortened, condensed setting.
I guess it's worth noting too for listeners, if you aren't familiar with the game, it's developed by Rogue Games, and it is a 2D Metroidvania style action adventure title.
Yeah.
And exploration based, and you're moving through the world, you're learning new skills, which are those tattoos that Claire mentioned.
Yeah. And puzzle solving.
Yeah. And just aesthetically, it's a very interesting game. Really, really cool.
Yeah. There's a lot going on.
The art style kind of reminds me of Return to Monkey Island from last year, but with like a dark twist.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. But like colorful and
painted,
hand illustrated, but like. A little darker, a little more sinister. So
I think that the characters also wear very similar like vests, so that could also be
part of what
you're remembering
for sure. Nice. I love that pick. That's a really good one.
Awesome. What's your number five?
My number five is a very cool turn-based JRPG title, Sea of Stars. This one got put on my radar by friends of the show, Matt Storm and Joseph Hooper.
Nice.
They have both been talking up this game, and so I looked into it a little bit, and it just looks beautiful.
Yeah.
The art style is really, really striking, and I'm just super excited to play it. I feel like I've gotten more and more into turn-based RPGs in recent years, and I think in previous years I kind of would have maybe written this game off, but just, you know, in a post Final Fantasy remake era and a post me getting into Pokemon and Persona again,
fucking love Pokemon,
trying out games like Live Alive and things like that, I'm just super super excited for this one, and it just looks really, really striking visually.
Yeah.
I wanted to pull up the developer real quick so I can shout them
this
out.
This is also one that I looked at, and I also agree that it looks beautiful. For me, the turn-based RPG, really, for my interest, is kind of relegated to Pokemon with that style of game. But I do agree that this looks like a really fantastic entry into that genre.
This one is from Sabotage Studio, who previously worked on The Messenger.
Nice.
For folks that... I adored that game. It came out back in 2018, but that's the, like, kind of Ninja Gaiden-style hack-and-slash action platformer. Yeah. Brutally difficult. Very fun. So they're a very talented developer, so it's also kind of cool to see them stretch their wings and do this top-down JRPG-style title.
Yeah, absolutely.
Very nice. Claire, you're number four.
My number four is a game that was previewed... last year, or revealed rather, I should say, and I can't remember if it was at the Game Awards or if it was, I think it was at the Game Awards. I'm pretty sure. I'm not 100% sure. I'm like 90% sure. And I was just immediately stricken by how beautiful the world was, and, the like character with the glowing white hair really reminded me, in addition to, like, the world itself and the nature focus, of Secret of Kells, which is, like, one of my favorite movies. So I was especially intrigued by the, you know, theme of the year, kind of, taking nature reclaiming what ought to be its own.
Sure.
Which is a theme of a couple other games on my
foreshadowing
list.
Foreshadowing some of your other picks.
So, yeah, I just thought it looks gorgeous, very intrigued about what the gameplay is going to look like and what the game actually is going to be. It's supposed to come out at some point this year. It doesn't have a release date. PlayStation, Xbox, and PC. And yeah, I am intrigued and anticipating this game greatly.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
You mentioning the release date reminds me, I didn't mention a release date with Sea of Stars. Currently, it's slated for 2023.
Yeah.
We don't have anything more specific than that. If we don't specify a release date for some of these other titles, just assume they're currently announced for sometime in this year,
yes,
but may or may not come out
actually
this year.
Come out
but
this
we
year,
will
but hopefully
stay tuned with these upcoming titles. And then for the ones with specific dates, we'll shout those out here as well. Awesome. So my next pick is a title that we got a chance to play at PAX West last year as well. This comes from Devolver Digital, and the developer is Doinksoft, one of my favorite developer names to say.
Yes.
Their latest title, Gunbrella, coming to PC and Switch.
Also fun to say.
This game is delightful. It is a 2D action platformer, and you are exploring the world, finding new areas, interacting with characters, completing side quests, but the main shtick, you have an umbrella that is also a gun.
Yep.
Your Gunbrella. And I almost don't need to say more because that's just, like, so fucking cool.
Yeah.
And it's even cooler in practice because you get to see the weapon. It's used in combat as well as for traversal. So you use the umbrella as a shield to dodge projectiles from enemies. You use your shotgun, obviously, to fight enemies. And then my personal favorite, you can use the umbrella to propel yourself through the water or through the air. And so you use that umbrella to maneuver through the world. And it has an amazing pixel art style. It kind of has this cool, like, neo-western-y vibe to it.
Yeah.
Aesthetically. And it's super cute, super fun. And the gameplay has a really nice challenge to it. And I believe the demo is still playable on Steam currently if you do want to check it out. But highly, highly recommend. This is from the team of Doinksoft that did their most recent game, Demon Throttle. And then before that, they did Gato Roboto. Mm-hmm. So, very established indie studio, very talented. Can't wait for this one. And with the backing of Devolver Digital, you know it's going to be a smash. Coming out soon.
Yes.
So I think this is when we could see a release date at a Nintendo Direct or another indie showcase event in the next few weeks or months. My prediction is we'll see this game sometime in March, I would say. So I think it's coming soon. So very, very excited. What I played was insanely polished and felt great.
Awesome.
So super excited to play more of that one.
Very nice.
Next up, talk to me about Planet of Lana from Thunderful Games.
Spoilers. Yes, that's my third game on my list. Planet of Lana, that's another one we got to preview at, or demo at PAX. And it was one of my favorite demos. You had like 20 minutes to do as much as you could.
Yep.
So I was just watching the people ahead of me feeling like I gotta be mentally prepared to get as far as I can. And so it's a 2D kind of platforming puzzle based game, but on the set on the backdrop of you are on this planet years and years in the future of humanity, and you're playing as this human child and their little alien creature friend, who is adorable.
Super cute.
Super cute. And they communicate using this little language. They made a language for the game, which always is cool. And so the backdrop is this, like, beautiful green, lush landscape. And then this, like, there are these creatures and this, like, material that covers the landscape that is, like, silhouette almost. It's like a pitch black shadow.
This game is very cool.
And I think that it's supposed to represent like decay brought on by machines, if I remember correctly. And I just remember it being really enthralled by the puzzle solving. You know, it started off, it eased you into it. Like the first couple puzzles were really easy, and I know that was a lot of people's complaints. But as you get further and further, they quickly become more elaborate to the point where I think most people I saw at the demo and myself as well really struggled with the last puzzle that we got to. And I am just like really intrigued to explore the world, get to know these characters more, and find out what is really at play in this world, because the trailers and, you know, the descriptions of the game and all that stuff have really hinted that there is going to be a broader story as to what is happening in the world. And it's just a world I want to spend more time in.
Yeah, 100%. I'm excited to see kind of how the game progresses over time, because I really enjoyed the short snippet we got, but at first the puzzle started to feel kind of easy, and then I saw it start to ramp up towards the end of the demo, so I'm interested to see kind of how that difficulty curve will continue throughout the rest of the game.
Yeah, I really do think that they were just trying to ease the players into it and make it an approachable demo.
For sure.
And I think that that's going to end up being like the very start of the game to get you familiar with the systems. It's the tutorial period.
Yeah.
And then that last little bit is like, no, this is what the game's actually going to feel like.
No, 100%. I think I don't want to say skeptical, but I'm always like a little on the fence when it comes to puzzle games, because I think you can, in terms of pacing, it can be hit or miss for me sometimes. You know what I mean? So I liked what I played, but we'll see when I'm excited to see the full release and kind of how they straddle that line. My quick pitch for this game is that it's like Happy Limbo for those folks that played Limbo from Playdead Studios. I think it just strikes a really nice vibe, and the platforming and the puzzle solving.
Oh, and
cool.
The music is beautiful as
well. It's just a cool game.
Yeah.
Through and through. Next up, I have another cool game to talk about. One that has been recently put on my radar that I, to be honest, wasn't familiar with until the last week or so. This is the Plucky Squire from All Possible Futures, published by Devolver Digital. This game looks delightful. I'm going to say it's this year's Tinykin. It just looks like a delightful, delightful platformer game. The opening trailer, it shows your characters running around in this beautiful children's storybook hand-drawn art style, and then halfway through the trailer your character pops out of the book, the Plucky Squire, and then it becomes a 3D adventure running around the game world. It gave me Tinykin vibes, it gave me Mario vibes. It looks so wholesome and so fun, and the music was cool, the art style was amazing. I love games that kind of recently have been just invoking such cozy nostalgia by using, you know, the children's storybook narration, or illustration rather, not narration, but and just kind of invoking those memories and that vibe. It just looks like a ton of fun to play.
It also kind of reminds me of It Takes Two, and the way that you're running around the like miniature world, but also like in the pictures and the drawings and the different imaginary worlds.
Yeah, and there's layers to it.
It seems very imaginative, which is always
I dig it.
Really fun.
Yeah, so that's another one dated for 2023. Very excited about it. It's coming to Switch, PlayStation, Xbox, and PC.
Wonderful.
All the places.
A lot of platforms for people.
Yeah, good stuff.
Awesome.
Next up, continuing your theme. What's your number two?
My theme of green.
Green good vibes.
Is that the theme?
Green good vibes, I think, is your theme.
I think that aside from The Last Case of Benedict Fox, all of my games are very green and nature-centric. So my number two is another game. I've talked about this game so much around the time of PAX, and that's Terra Nil, which I thought was coming out early 2023, and now I can't find a actual date for that. So we will see, but I thought it was coming out real soon. So
I thought that was another one dated for March, but maybe I'm mixing maybe that up with Gunbrella because that is they another were saying, Devolver Digital.
Well, they were saying it was title. Coming out like Q1 2023. But maybe that changed. I don't know. Anyway,
well, it's coming to... Well, and I will also throw out that different game publishers and different stakeholders have different definitions of Q1, depending on where their Q4 ends and things like that. It can get a little wonky, so...
I just know that they had a release date that was, like, January, February.
That's fair.
And now it just says 2023.
Anywho, it's most likely coming out this year. What are you excited about?
On PC and mobile, which makes sense. For the gameplay, which is, it's like a city builder sim, but in reverse, where you are taking a barren wasteland and returning it to nature and doing a variety of different things to make the land beautiful again, and then get the heck out of there and just leave behind only nature, nothing human, and just leave. And I think that that is just a really beautiful idea and really refreshing, pun intended. But it's also really interesting the way that they do it, because you're given this plot of land and you have to be really strategic about it. It is kind of a strategy game. It's a resource management sim. You have to, the more land you convert to green, the more currency you get. So you have to be really strategic about which sort of items you place, because they each do different things. And I was just really engaged. I played this game for like 45 minutes at the start of PAX, and I was thinking about going back all weekend long. So I've been really looking forward to this one, and I continue to really look forward to this one, and I can't wait to sink a bunch of time into playing it when it comes out at some point this year, hopefully.
Yeah, that's awesome. I remember how into this game you were, and that's always exciting to see, like, when a game really gets its hooks into you.
Yeah.
After seeing gameplay for myself, it kind of reminds me of a title I played over winter break, Dorf Romantic, another puzzle game where you're kind of manipulating environments, and it's like chill vibes and cool art style, and yeah, I'm excited for this one. I might check it out myself too.
Yeah.
And it's also worth noting that along with the mobile version of the game, it'll also be available on Netflix.
Oh yeah,
with That's their cool. kind of games platform division included in the subscription, which, you know, honestly, there's some bangers in there. Immortality is included in that. Things like Oxenfree are included in that. Like, they're building out a little impressive catalog with some cool indie titles. So
that's awesome.
It's cool to see this one in that mix as well. Hopefully you'll find a nice audience through that. Next up, my number two. This game has been on my radar for, I would say, at least 2 years, if not longer than that. I think it was on my most anticipated last year as well. But I'm going to keep mentioning it until it comes out.
And then afterwards, a bunch.
100%. And this is a game called Venba, coming to Switch and PC. It is, I'm just going to read the pitch for it, because I think kind of once you understand the elevator pitch for the game, it really clicks. Venba is a narrative cooking game where you play as an Indian mom who emigrates to Canada with her family in the 1980s. Players will cook various dishes and restore lost recipes, hold branching conversations, and explore in this story about family, love, loss, and more. I think the art style is incredibly cool, and I just really love the idea of basing a game's narrative around food and family and, like, the culture that surrounds that. And I just think this is going to be a really, really special game that we talk about for a long time. And it's, like I said, it's been on my radar for years. Incredibly, incredibly excited to see the full release. I believe they've confirmed this one for spring 2023. So it's coming soon to Switch and PC. Keep it on your radar. We'll definitely be talking about it on the show. Oh my gosh. Very excited for Venba.
Me too. Super excited.
And now we finally made it to number one most anticipated indie game of the year. A coveted award considering how many indies you and I both play.
Oh yes. This was also, I think it was my number one at PAX.
Heck yeah.
Too. Minico's Night Market.
What a game. What another a delightful game, little game.
Another game that I just, like, ever since I played it, I'm like, I can't wait for this game to come out. I cannot wait for this game to come out. And I'm still feeling that way. Like, I'm so excited. So it's coming out at some point this year. Switch
the
PC
game
and
about
Mac.
Crafting crafts, petting pets.
Catting cats.
Catting cats and snacking.
Snacking snacks.
God, what a great, great tagline.
So yeah, I'm just, the vibe of the game was great. I loved running around and talking to the characters, collecting things in the environment, needing to save up and use, you know, the food system to save your energy, because every task you do takes energy and it actually rewards you for eating, which not a lot of games do. And I love being rewarded for eating. I love it when it matters. There's a lot of cats. It's adorable. There's crafting, there's selling, there's revitalizing a town through commerce and good vibes and being kind to other people. There's a secret at play that you have to uncover, which I think we recently talked about is kind of my jam, finding out what's happening, or what has happened
for sure.
There's a secret organization that's up to no good, which Ooh. Is always fun. I just am so excited about this game.
Yeah, this game
looks so cute.
An absolute delight to play. It's an absolute delight to look at. Another one that touches on that amazing hand-painted children's book-esque illustrations.
Yeah.
Just such a good vibe. I also was really impressed by the dialogue that
yes.
your character is... She encountered different characters
really
in the
alive.
Game world. Reminded me of games like Night in the Woods that just
yeah.
make really human, natural encounters that feel meaningful and feel authentic and feel special. And it's just
and
a very cool game.
There's humor, too. There's
yeah,
levity
yeah.
to it.
Like, conversations that I want to have, not conversations that I want to skip through. Like,
right.
I wanted to be
yeah.
in the moment in this world and
absolutely
enjoy it and just vibe.
And that's why it's number one.
Love it.
What about you? What's your number one?
My number one, and this may be no surprise to folks that have been following my indie coverage and things over the years, is Mina the Hollower mm-hmm. from Yacht Club Games, currently slated for December 2023. I'm holding out hope. I think it's coming out this year. And man, when it does, it's a banger, y'all.
Uh-huh.
If it's not on your radar, it needs to be now. Shovel Knight, their previous series, took huge inspiration from franchises like Mega Man and 2D Castlevania, and just takes amazing things back to that nostalgic 16-bit
yeah.
platformer. And I think this entry with Mina the Hollower, new series, has that same love and care to a genre of gaming past. But this is hearkening back to OG top-down Zelda titles.
Yeah.
And just making that experience so fun. You play as Mina the Hollower, this amazing little mouse who burrows through the ground as a way of traversal through environments. You have a chain whip akin to Castlevania. You get to find upgrades throughout the world as you explore and unlock new areas, fight new enemies, navigate difficult platforming challenges through your burrowing. And it has this amazing kind of like gothic Halloween-y cool art style to it, and just delightful game. Friend of the show Alex Van Aken has an incredible documentary that he produced on the making of the game for Game Informer. So if you go over to their YouTube channel or their site and search for Mina the Hollower, I'm sure you can find it. But just hearing about the game director Alec and his story. I believe he started out as an intern at Yacht Club Games and kind of worked his way up and built this prototype for Mina and pitched it to the founders of Yacht Club, and they loved it, but obviously had some feedback and some thoughts, and they've continued to build out this game, and Alec is now the director of his project that he pitched. And so it's really cool to watch kind of the journey and them detail their story of kind of moving from Shovel Knight to now working on Mina the Hollower. And it's a really, really fun game. Yeah. It plays really, really well, and it's beautiful.
That's awesome. So,
good vibes, good indies, good games, y'all. Yes. Should we run through our honorable mentions?
Let's do it. I don't know
if I have as much to say on these, but I think they're worth noting on putting on people's radar if they're not aware of these titles.
Why don't you go through the ones that you added?
Yeah, definitely. First up, it's more than an honorable mention. If it hadn't just come out, it would have been on my most anticipated games list. It's a game that we'll be reviewing next week on the show. This is Recall, developed by single developer Machin69 and published by Whitethorn Games. Another one I played at PAX West and absolutely fell in love with. It's this amazing top-down adventure-style puzzle game where your character essentially gets to determine how scenarios played out and how the story progressed to get them to where they are now. So the first level that is been widely demoed, so I'll talk about it pretty publicly because I don't want to spoil the rest of the game because it's really fun to kind of pull apart the onion layer by layer yourself and kind of figure out how it works. But the first level, your character wakes up in a government lab and you have to determine how you got there. You're being interrogated, and so you have to answer questions like, who was guarding the door? Was there a gun? Did you take the gun? What did you do with the gun? What rooms did you go in? Who did you talk to? What did you subsequently do? And you have to kind of puzzle your way through this narrative and recall, akin to the title, these memories and figure out what happened in that given day. And so the levels get progressively more intricate, and it's been really cool in my early time with the game to see it expand on what I played at PAX. But super interesting game, amazing indie. It's available on Xbox, Switch, and PC. Highly, highly recommend. It's $20. It'll be one of the best games you played this year. Spoil my review, but I'm super excited to keep playing and to talk more about it on next week's show.
Yeah, absolutely.
Other ones I highlighted on this list, Lies of P is a very, very cool game that is definitely heavily inspired by games like Bloodborne and other FromSoft titles. Super stylish action. I really liked how fast the combat moved, but it looks amazing. The light and art direction is really impressive. And it's just, I think, one people should have on their radar.
Yeah.
Last one I threw on this list is a title called Pacific Drive. This was highlighted at a PlayStation State of Play event in 2022. It's developed by Ironwood Studios, and it's this cool narrative game where you're driving through the Pacific Northwest, and it's like part survival game where you have to choose how to maintain your car, you have to stop for gas, and you also have to drive and evade. If you watch the announcement trailer, it becomes very supernatural and things are going on and you have to escape dangerous circumstances. So there's definitely like a mystery story element at play here. But it's a really, really interesting game that I'm curious to see what the final product looks like. It's just, I think, a unique concept of like, you're a driver and you're going on this road trip adventure.
Yeah.
And you got to see what happens. You got to live and survive and make the right choices and experience this kind of supernatural mystery narrative as you're moving through.
Yeah.
How about for you, Claire? Awesome. I know you had a couple cool titles on this one, this list, you want to highlight as well.
Yeah, a couple. So I guess in no particular order, this almost made the cut. I don't know, if we'd done 10, it would have been a no-brainer. Season, A Letter to the Future.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Which I think was announced at a PlayStation event over the summer.
And I think it was announced last summer. E3.
It's been a while in
development. This is one from Scavenger Studios, I believe.
So this caught my eye right away because of it's all about documenting, taking pictures, scanning things, recording things. You take pictures, you record sounds, you're riding your bike and going around and doing this.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, that sounds like a clear-ass game. I love games that have you explore your environment and then record what you see.
Sure.
And then add the twist of, like, this, like, melancholy backdrop of the world's about to end and the character is dealing with that in their own way by recording the way the world exists now. And I just think that's a really beautiful concept, and it seems like a really kind of serene, meditative sort of game. So I'm really excited to explore that and all that it has to offer.
Yeah, it looks super stunning. This is one that I really hope this game hits, and I hope it's good, because they had a very tumultuous development with their former studio head, I believe, at this point, that was accused of many, many harassment allegations and toxic workplace allegations. And it just sounded like that studio culture really had a lot of issues. So I hope that the remaining employees were able to, you know, have a healthier work environment and then produce the game that they truly were passionate about making. Because I think the game does look really, really cool and really impressive. Yeah,
so. Definitely.
Hopefully. Good vibes. Hope everything's going better over there. And yeah, I'd love to be able to support that studio wholeheartedly, you know, and
definitely
help them be successful and have a healthy work-life balance, like we said, and a healthy environment free of harassment and toxicity.
Absolutely. Very important.
For sure.
And something we support here at Lukewarm Games.
100%.
My next one is Storyteller.
I'm glad you brought this one up, because I Googled it right before the show and I forgot about it, but it does, it looks amazing.
I like, it was there in the back of my mind, but I kind of forgot about it too. So it is a adventure book, like medieval style, you know.
There's a book theme to these games as well, on top of the
knight,
the nature,
princess, dragon, it's all the tropes. The idea is that you're playing with the tropes and you are writing your own story given the tropes. You have, like, here's characters, here's a list of things that might happen, choose your own adventure and write your own story, and you can make it, like, really wild, like the knight saves the princess and they go to get married, but then the princess runs off with the priest and they go have dwarf children who end up doing whatever, and just, like, all this nonsense. And it looks like it can be really subversive and funny and just kind of playing off of the genre.
Sure.
And I think as a lover of books, I think that sounds really fun.
But yeah, that's awesome. No, I liked the looking back at the coverage from the announcement of the game. I really like the idea of the spontaneity and the humor and the different ways you can approach the game. And yeah, I love that from a narrative perspective.
Yeah, definitely. The next one on my list is Botany Manor.
Ooh.
Which, like, just the title alone sounds like a clear-ass game. So it's basically a puzzle game, but all the puzzles are based around growing plants.
And then is there a Downton Abbey-style upstairs-downstairs drama associated with the botany?
I don't know.
No, I don't think there is. I'm sorry.
I read it as
I think it's more of a puzzle game,
you have the
right?
whole manor to explore, and I know there is some element of a mystery that you're trying to solve as the horticulturist who is going
Love
around
that.
Growing the plants to explore the manor and the grounds and uncover some degree of mystery. And I just think it looks fun and wholesome and chill.
Yeah, no, that's
so
awesome.
So I'm excited for Very that cool. one. And then last but not least is Tchia, which is a sandbox sim exploration game.
I'd call it an action adventure from what I've seen.
There's you can play a ukulele, you can dress up your character, you can glide, surf, climb, jump, you can possess animals and run around in their little bodies. And I think that it looks really fun and really beautiful, and it's also extra cool that it is set in a small remote island in the Pacific it is based on a small remote island in the Pacific where the team who made the game is from.
Oh, cool.
So
I didn't know
their
aspect of it.
I always think
that's really cool.
I always think it's cool when the game location is inspired by the team's homeland. I think it brings a level of heart into the game.
And a level of, like, authentic representation that isn't as isn't as often seen in games, yeah, is what I was going to say.
For sure.
Yeah, this game looks dope. It probably would have been the number 6 on my list, honestly. I'm super excited for it. It reminds me of games like Breath of the Wild in a good way, yeah, but in a sense of like totally different setting, environment, characters, style, but just like,
and what you're doing idea, in the environment.
Yeah, but yeah, the idea that you're moving through environments, you're exploring this colorful world. I like you mentioned the ukulele piece, but it really seems in all the coverage I've seen that music and the ukulele is like a through line in terms of gameplay and narrative.
Yeah.
Which now knowing that the Pacific Islander development team, that's very, very cool to hear that representation, and I'm interested to see how that plays into the game's narrative and just overall style. That's really awesome.
Yeah, that's awesome. I'm also reading that the characters are voiced by a local talent in that region. Oh, as amazing. Well, which is also cool.
Yeah, definitely gotta keep an eye on that one for sure.
Absolutely.
Any other games to shout out for the moment? I feel like there's a ton.
There's
but it's
a
just
ton.
Like...
There's one I'm thinking of now that I didn't put on my list.
Yeah.
But that I was reading about for the first time this morning, actually, that looks interesting, and I'll have to read more about it. But it's called Bramble.
Bramble.
The Mountain King. And it's like you're exploring the world, and it's full of monsters, and some of them are good, and some of them are bad, but it's all based on Nordic folklore.
Hmm.
And
that sounds interesting.
And the world looks like. The art style is really cool, so go check that one out. I'm gonna learn more about that, and maybe it'll end up being honorable mention number 5 or whatever. So Bramble the Mountain King. Interesting.
Confirming the title.
Yes,
we looked it up. It's Bramble. Love it.
Yes, love you. Lots to love on this list, everybody.
There's a lot of good games, and there's a ton we didn't mention, so yeah. Obviously stick.
Do you have any more that you didn't write down that you're thinking of in the moment?
I don't have any that, like, off the top of my head, I'm like, I have to mention. I'm excited for Angerfoot. That's another Devolver Digital title that was super cool. Think first-person Hotline Miami, where you're using your foot to kick down doors and fire projectiles at enemies. Super fun. Yeah, I'll stick with those for now, but obviously there's more and more games coming out that we're going to continue to cover, and just excited for all these indies and excited for games.
Excited for games.
Well, with that said, Claire, should we jump into Questions with Claire, our weekly discussion of fun questions with the listeners?
Let's do it. So this week's question, what is a prediction that you have for the video game industry in 2023? A little bit on the vague side, open to interpretation. Lots you can have.
Yeah, you can take it in multiple directions.
Yeah. What direction are you going to take it?
I'm going to take it in a couple directions. I have a couple predictions. My key predictions, I think we're going to see the continued push for indie developers, and I think the relevance of indie developers. And I know that sounds kind of like a catch, like, obviously, but I just think we're in this world right now where there's just such a crazy amount of cool indie games coming out at any given time. And those are where my interests are really gravitating towards. So I think as an industry, we're going to see a continued interest in indie games. And I think about like the attention that Stray got last year, for example, from the New York Times or from the Game Awards. I think we're just going to see smaller titles continue to get proper attention.
Right on.
So
that's awesome.
So that's one. And then my other one, I don't think we're going to see any hardware announcements in 2023. I don't think we're getting any new Switch Pro 4K anything. I don't think we're going to get PlayStation Slim.
That's interesting because my prediction is hardware based.
Okay. So I could be totally wrong, but that's just like where my gut is at right now. I'm just not. I don't think they need to do it. The only catch with the Nintendo one is if they announce
the next console.
Console to go along with Zelda. But I just think they would have done that.
I don't think they're going
to
announce it to go along with Zelda. Here's my prediction. 2023 is going to be the last year of the Nintendo Switch and its current iteration. And then in 2024, whether they announce it this year or not, in 2024 we are going to get the next Nintendo console.
Do you think it's drastically different? That's a bold prediction, and I don't disagree. Do you think, it's going to be drastically different than the Switch, though, in terms of, like, format
and design? What I think and what I hope. What I hope is that it's the Nintendo Switch, but it runs 4K.
And I just want a Switch 4K 60. I just want a powerful Switch.
4K, just a Switch that can do some semblance of what the PlayStation can
do. Or at least 4K 60 docked.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
and handheld, docked, whatever. It's hard.
Yeah, like, I don't know. At least give me... Because my biggest concern right now, and my prediction, not necessarily, but thinking back to the launch of Breath of the Wild and the performance issues that were encountered early on right at launch with that title, nothing crazy, you know what I mean? Obviously still an amazing game right out of the gate, but did encounter a bit of performance issues. I am a bit worried about performance issues with Tears of the Kingdom.
Yeah.
I like to think that Nintendo puts enough effort and time and money into a major Zelda title that it will be fine. But I do worry about the Switch showing its age at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of is. Now,
well, just think about like the most recent Pokemon right now, but like, is that a development issue?
I think that's more on Pokemon.
I do too, and so that's why I'm a little bit less concerned about Zelda.
There have been a fair number of bigger games that have been on the Switch, and it's just like, ooh, this does not handle this game.
We're to a point where it's definitely limiting the developers what they can do.
Yep.
And so I'll be interested to see how Zelda performs. But yeah, that's just my two cents, is I think Nintendo is in this mode right now in terms, in, you know, pandemic was very hard financially for game companies in general. And I think they're kind of reeling from the aftermath of that. And I think if it ain't broke, don't fix it. They're making money with Switches and they can continue to produce games on those current hardware. So that's what I think they're going to do this year. That's my two cents.
I also think in keeping with the theme of today's podcast, I think that we are going to see a lot of indie games this year with really powerful messages. And just like heart
love that.
Out the behind all all year long. And I'm really excited for that.
Love it. You heard it here first. Heart
out the behind.
Out the behind. I was going to say something else, but then it was too funny not to say it again.
Got stuck. Yeah.
All heart here at Lukewarm Games. Well, Claire, thank you so much for a delightful episode, as always.
Nice.
Fun to be back on the mic after our Game of the Year coverage, jumping into 2023 discussion, because video games are not stopping.
Even though I'm just playing Pokemon, there are other games, too.
And I'm just playing Recall because it's real good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, hear more about that next week. Listeners, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode. Some quick housekeeping items for you. Please subscribe to our show on your podcast platform of choice. We are now officially on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. If you enjoy our podcast, consider leaving us a review on one of the podcast platforms that you listen to us on. It helps us greatly reach new audience members. In addition to that, consider supporting us on Patreon at patreon.com/lukewarmgames for exclusive podcasts and more. You can go ahead and follow at Lukewarm Games on Twitter to get the latest updates on our show. And with that, have a fantastic week. Cheers and happy gaming.